This lesson is called loneliness. That loneliness can have a devastating effect on the quality of humans. Life is not news. Scientists have been sounding the alarm on this topic for decades. The results of many research studies strongly warn us not to take the feeling of loneliness lightly. After all, it's not just a matter of being a bit uncomfortable when you don't have anyone or feel like you don't have anyone. Loneliness is not only a merciless attack on our psyche, but also on our physical health. And when I say mercilessly, I mean it. Its effects are devastating, often quietly gnawing, but even more sneaky. Sadly, as the results of a large study published in the scientific journal International Psychogeriatrics show, loneliness seems to happily dance to the rhythm of our life stages, and it doesn't just pick on lonely seniors, as one might think. It turns out that we most often struggle with feelings of loneliness at three key times in our lives. Which ones are they? Around 30, 55, and 90. Seriously, three cheers to life and three cheers to a hefty helping of loneliness. Surprising, isn't it? Young people in their 30s are as persistently targeted by this silent tyrant as the elderly, and she is said to choose between the sexes quite democratically. And why 30, 55, and 90? These stages of life have one thing in common. Each is a period of change, reevaluation of priorities, and major decisions. Around 30, people are tackling major issues around careers, relationships, and the future. They compare their decisions with their peers, which often leads to feelings of depression and doubt. She already has three kids and I don't even have a dog. He bought a house and I'm still drowning in rent. These are just small snippets of the inner dialogues that loneliness so often throws our way. What about 55? This is where the empty nest syndrome often sets in. The children have long since left home, the career may be approaching its peak, or may have passed its zenith, and one is faced with questions of meaning and fulfillment, as if taking an exam in the philosophy of life. And before 90? That's a chapter in itself. Health problems, loss of loved ones, fewer opportunities for physical activity. We count the minutes and feel the world sometimes pushing us to the sidelines of its activities. The great news is that there are weapons against feelings of loneliness. One of the most powerful is life wisdom. Yes, that's right. That lovely thing our grandmothers recommended when we were not good at maths as teenagers. Life wisdom is a combination of several beautiful qualities: empathy, the ability to control your emotions, understanding of yourself and others, the ability to accept differences of opinion, kindness, and a sense of what is fair. In fact, people who have a high level of this knowledge of life do not feel so lonely. They are better able to understand themselves and cultivate meaningful relationships and habits. But this is no time to underestimate the physical effects of loneliness. And here, we need to get a little serious. Loneliness increases the risk of dementia by up to 40%. Living alone is as dangerous to our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So don't sit on a bench and talk to loneliness about life. Rather, banish it. It leads to depression, insomnia, high blood pressure, and heart disease. And these problems grow in direct proportion to age. Loneliness is such a public threat to our health that we should take it damn seriously. Loneliness is not just about being alone, but about our souls longing for company that we don't have. Let us help ourselves and others by being open, attentive, and kind, because it is through understanding and compassion that we can say one thing to loneliness: no. You may have experienced that feeling of being surrounded by people but still feeling empty. Or, conversely, when you're home alone and the silent walls hug you too tightly. But you know what? Loneliness is not a one-size-fits-all package that everyone picks up in the same form. There is no one-size-fits-all. Let's unpack that a bit and look at the different types of loneliness. It's not some sort of competition in categories of sadness. It's more about understanding what's going on inside of us. The first type of loneliness is emotional loneliness. This is the most intimate and often most distressing form of loneliness. Imagine sitting on a park bench surrounded by people, moms with baby strollers, runners, dog walkers, all walking around you in their own world. And you, though in the center of it all, feel the greatest emptiness inside. That's emotional loneliness. It's the feeling of missing someone to see you, a person you can be 100% authentic in front of without the masks of everything is fine or the pretense of it's none of my business. It's a longing for a real connection, one where you feel understood, accepted, and loved just as you are. People often experience emotional loneliness when they lose a loved one. Maybe someone important to you has passed away, and now you miss that one person who knew how you like your coffee or what music you play when you're in a bad mood. It may also be the case that your relationship is going through a crisis. You're together, but you seem to have disconnected from each other. This type of loneliness has its roots deep in humans' needs. Knowing that someone really cares about you and having someone you can tell everything to without fear, it's a search for connection that feels like a home for your soul. Social loneliness. So here we are on a slightly different wave. Social loneliness is not about not having close relationships, but rather about missing the bigger picture. It's a feeling of being left out of a wider circle of friends or society in general. Imagine a link that's unhooked from the chain. You're still there, but you're not part of the collective action. Maybe you miss regular coffee shop get-togethers with friends, evenings of laughter, or even just casual chats at work over coffee. It's been a long time since you've been to an event where you've shared with others, and suddenly you feel like you're behind a wall while the world around you is happily enjoying itself. Sometimes we don't even realize social loneliness until it starts to tug at our sleeve, like when you move to a new city and are still finding your place among people, or when you change jobs and your new team hasn't taken you in yet. Suddenly you start missing those little connecting threads, a spontaneous phone call from a friend, lunches together, or sports practices. Seemingly small things, but without them you feel like an astronaut dropped off on a completely different planet. Social loneliness is a reminder that we need to get back into the network, not just the internet one, but especially the humans one. Existential loneliness. And now, let us come to the heaviest weight on the soul. Existential loneliness. The very word sounds a bit like putting on a black turtleneck and going to a coffee shop for a tired thought. But don't worry, although it's a serious type of loneliness, it can be worked with. It's that moment when you stop in the middle of your daily routine and start asking yourself questions that take you out of your normal routine. Who am I? Do I have any direction at all? What does it all mean around me? And why do I feel so disconnected from myself and the world? Existential loneliness is not just about feeling that no one likes you or that you have no one to talk to. It's deeper than that. It's about finding meaning. It's the kind of loneliness that makes us question where we're actually going and what part of all the world's goings-on we've been assigned. Sometimes this feeling comes up during difficult times in life, perhaps after the loss of a loved one, during a major life change, or simply in the middle of the night when your thoughts catch up with you. But paradoxically, something immensely powerful can also grow out of this loneliness: a deeper understanding of ourselves, a new direction, and a greater connection to what we love. Loneliness is not the enemy. It's more of an indicator, a blinking light on the dashboard. When you feel it, it's not a sign that you've failed or that there's something wrong with you. It's an invitation to look deep inside yourself and find out what's missing in your life. Maybe it's a time to call an old friend, join a community, start a journal, or just take that first tiny step towards the people around you. Remember that loneliness is not a prison without an exit. It's a fairly common stop along the way that we all go through. And while you may feel like you're alone in the world right now, the truth is that many people around you feel something similar. So be kind to yourself. And most of all, remember that you can always turn the page and start over with new connections, new friendships, and new energy. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together. Loneliness caused by stress. When we face stress, cortisol starts to be released into the body, which is not bad at all at first. In fact, this hormone helps us cope with situations where we need to be alert, quick, and ready to act. For example, are you in danger? Cortisol will energize you, increase your focus, and prepare your body for fight or flight. Even when stress shows up once in a while in the form of a more demanding workday or a bigger project, cortisol is there as your ally. Everything's fine from then on. However, the problem arises when stress is too much and sticks to us like an irritating parasite. Suddenly, the emergency solution becomes a daily reality, and the body doesn't actually have time to rest and regenerate. Cortisol then settles in and slowly but surely begins to take its tax. And what tax exactly? Because cortisol has a direct effect on our mood. Stressful and challenging times often take us on an emotional roller coaster. You may be familiar with it. One moment you feel anxious, then nervous, overwhelmed or irritated, and then helpless again. This is no coincidence. That's because cortisol affects our brain chemistry and tends to upset the balance of mood-regulating hormones like serotonin or dopamine. And these processes have a direct impact on our mental health. When cortisol settles in for a prolonged period of time, some people may feel overwhelmed that everything in life is a headwind and that they simply have nothing to breathe. But what is even more important to mention is its effect on our ability to be with other people. Did you know that long-term stress can even isolate us? Yes, that's right. Because when we are overwhelmed, we gradually begin to shut down. Contact with friends or family suddenly feels like an unbearable chore. Being with people, talking, sharing thoughts, it all seems too energy-consuming. We feel lonely, isolated, as if we are swimming in a closed aquarium where everything around us is just a whisper. Why? Because cortisol not only affects our mood, it also reshapes our approach to social interactions. The brain seems to be set up for survival and prioritizes basic functions, putting social connections on the back seat. And this is the vicious circle. The more we isolate ourselves, the more stress weighs us down. We lack the support, the closeness of other people, their presence to help us recharge our batteries. It's like finding yourself on a desert island and your only ally, cortisol, convinces you that it's best to stay in the safety of your shell instead of calling someone or sharing your feelings. But here comes the good news. Despite how much cortisol and its effects kick into high gear in stressful situations, you can face it. The first step is becoming aware of what's going on in your body and head. Take a moment to stop and ask yourself, am I overwhelmed right now? And if you answered yes, remember that you are not alone. Stress is unfortunately an inseparable part of modern life, but the good news is that there are ways to work with it. Make yourself happy with small things. Call a friend, even if it's just for 2 minutes. Try a walk in nature. Maybe the cortisol will leave you there completely unnoticed. And above all, don't forget that our bodies are miraculously self-correcting. If we give them space, they can deal with many things. Let's dive into practical part. For loneliness, it is necessary to delve deeply into ourselves to understand what is happening, why, and how to get out of it. Here are questions to reframe loneliness. As always, you'll need pencil and paper and your head to find the solution. Make yourself comfortable and let's get started. 30 questions for reframing loneliness. We start by understanding the feelings of loneliness. In what ways does loneliness show up in my life? What specific situations or moments usually make me feel lonely? What emotions do I typically feel when I feel lonely? What do I think about myself when I feel lonely? What thoughts go through my head when I feel alone? Is there anything in particular that triggers my feelings of loneliness? What relationships or situations have helped me feel better and less alone? How do I feel about my current relationships? Are there people nearby that I want to talk to about my loneliness? Now let's try to focus on what loneliness is telling us. What could I learn about myself through this loneliness? What new possibilities might open up for me if I focus on my feelings of loneliness? What situations have I felt comfortable in before, and how can I replicate those situations? Can I see my feelings of loneliness as a signal for change instead of a negative experience? How might I see loneliness as an opportunity for personal growth? What positive aspects can loneliness have if I understand it correctly? Now let's look at finding a solution. What small steps can I take to feel less lonely? Which activities could help me make new relationships? Who in my surroundings could give me support when I feel lonely? What steps can I take to improve the quality of my relationships? What new activities or hobbies could I try to meet new people? How could I better communicate my feelings to other people? And now, let's go into action. What specific goals will I set to reduce my loneliness? What can I do every day to improve my situation? How can I track my progress in overcoming loneliness? What options do I have to manage feelings of loneliness? What does my body tell me it needs when I feel lonely? In what ways can my experiences with loneliness strengthen my empathy for others? What lessons can I take away from this experience that I can use in the future? How can I celebrate my progress and efforts in overcoming loneliness? What skills and feelings do I need to overcome my loneliness? Let's try to break down some of the most common questions we may ask ourselves in loneliness and find explanations for them. If you can't find the question you're dealing with, it's easy to look at it from a similar angle and break it down. First part, I'll never find a real friend. How do you know you'll never meet a real friend? What if there's someone out there right now who's looking for you the way you're looking for him? Is that possible? What would have to happen for me to be open to forming new relationships? Do I really not have a friend anymore, or am I just ignoring him? Second part. Everyone around me is happy, but I'm alone. Is it possible that the people around you also have moments when they feel lonely? What if their happiness isn't as real as it first appears? What steps could I take to create more joy in my own life? Third part, no one knows how I feel. How do you know that no one around you feels the same way you do? Is it possible that if you talk about your feelings, someone will understand you better? What do you wish people knew about your feelings, and how could this be shared? Fourth part, I am uninteresting or unattractive in the eyes of others. How can you be sure that others don't see you in a completely different light? Is it possible that your unique qualities are what others find interesting? What would happen if you started to believe that you are attractive the way you are? Fifth part, I'm too demanding for others. Is it possible that your needs are an opportunity for someone to become a better version of themselves? How do you know that what you take as a challenge isn't an inspiration to someone else? What would happen if you accepted your demandingness as part of who you are? Sixth part, nothing in my life will ever change. How do you know life won't change much sooner than you expect? What can you do to begin to feel that change has already begun? What would be the first small sign that change is already slowly happening? Is nothing really ever going to change? Isn't there something that could change your life? Seventh part. Everyone is living fully, yet I'm by myself. How do you know that even those with full lives don't feel lonely sometimes? Could it be that there are people who want to be a part of your life but don't know how? What would have to happen for you to feel more connected to others? Eighth part. Nobody cares what I do or what happens to me. Is it possible that there are people who care about you but don't know how to show it? What happens when you start sharing your feelings and your activities with others? Is there someone who might enjoy what you do if you told them? Does no one really care? Ninth part. I have nothing to offer others. Is it possible that what you consider ordinary can be seen as inspiration by someone else? How do you know that your personal experience is not a gift to someone else? What difference would it make if you started believing in your current value to others? Can you really offer nothing at all? Why do you think that? And last part, I'll never get out of this lonely state. What if the journey out of loneliness has just begun, but you can't see it yet? What would the first step look like to move beyond this feeling? What would happen if you began to believe that loneliness is not a permanent condition?